70. Traffic brought to you by Staples. Now at Staples, trade in your old printer and save up to $200 on a new Epson Eco tank, including up to 2 years of ink. Ends 1-6, see store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply. Staples, it's pro time from the KTRS Traffic Center. I'm Ed Smerin, Lubbock 550 KTRS.
Your KTRS forecast sponsored by Galmish & Sons. Clear sky overnight, low near 5, sunny tomorrow, low 20s for the high. Turning cloudy tomorrow night, overnight low in the upper teens, and Sunday is where it could become problematic. Snow with a wintry mix of snow and sleet, and then later in the day, possibly freezing rain. We'll know closer to time just what's going to develop. High on Sunday in the low 30s. Right now, 20 degrees at 3:07 from the Window World Studios at Westport. I'm Kent Martin, KTRS News.
Ring in the new year with savings with your friends from American Eagle Credit Union. As an American Eagle Credit Union member, you'll save with great loan rates, earn more with great saving rates, and enjoy convenient account access and receive that personalized service you come to expect. American Eagle Credit Union has branches throughout the St. Louis metropolitan area, from Florissant to Arnold and from O'Fallon to O'Fallon. Stop by your American Eagle Credit Union today or online at ameaglecu.org.
Membership eligibility required, federally insured by NCUA. All loans subject to approval.
If you've been in business for over 67 years, you must be treating the customers right. If you need your heating and air conditioning repaired or replaced, call the people I rely on. Gelmish & Sons, 314-993-1110 or gelmishandsons.com.
Friday edition of the Paul Harris Show, on the air everywhere, on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide via the free KTRS app. Hello, welcome to the beginning of your first weekend of 2018. Lots of stuff to get to on the show today. This hour I'll be talking with Stephen Davis, who's written a biography of Stevie Nicks, who was just in town a couple months ago playing at the Family Arena out in St. Charles. I had a chance to see her out there, enjoyed the concert, and then saw that there was this book out, and I thought, well, I can share stories with him, he can share stories with me, and so we will do that a little bit later on in this hour. Next hour, I will review for you the new movie Molly's Game, which is about a woman by the name of Molly Bloom, real-life person, who I interviewed about 3.5 years ago after she wrote a book about her experiences running high-stakes celebrity underground poker games in Los Angeles. And then because of one particular celebrity who was in that game, she was kind of forced out and ended up moving to New York, and that's where she ended up getting in trouble, and the FBI took notice, and it's actually a great story, and it's a new movie. So next hour I'm going to play you that interview with Molly, and then I'll review the movie for you. Max is not here to do that today because he is out with the flu, so Josh is sitting behind the board. Hi, Josh, how are you?
Good. I remember that interview you did with Molly Bloom, and I have to say, and this is not hyperbole, I was riveted.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Today, since you've already heard it, you'll just walk around and not pay attention. Oh, no, that's me. Also not paying attention is Tim Weiland, who's way too busy with the stuff in the traffic center. Hi, Tim. Oh, how are you?
I'm paying attention.
Good.
So, hey, can I be unprofessional here?
Yes.
Josh, get the echo out of my ear.
Uh-oh. How about now?
There we go.
Okay. That was totally professional, by the way, not unprofessional in any way.
It works.
I think you're thinking that we work at a higher standard than we actually do.
Yeah, that's true. They don't know us.
How many years have I worked with you and you thought that was unprofessional? That proves that you're not paying attention to the show.
Okay. All right. You got it right there.
There's no curtain to pull back here, Tim. It's all out there.
Yeah. There's no wizard either. That's the funny thing. There's just some dog running around trying to find a wizard.
Yeah.
Quiet, Toto! Let's start off today with my absolute favorite story of the day, and I have quite a few of these that are on my desktop that we have to get to today. The first one has to do with the Gorilla Channel. There's a guy who posted something on Twitter last night after Michael Wolff came out with this explosive book about the president, which we are not going to discuss on this show because we don't get into politics. We're not going to get into that. But after that blew up online yesterday and is continuing to do so today, a guy who has a Twitter account decided to upload a fake page from the book. And it talked about how President Trump is obsessed with gorillas and how on his first night in the White House, he complained that the TVs there don't have the gorilla channel. And so, quote, to appease Trump, White House staff compiled a number of gorilla documentaries into a makeshift gorilla channel broadcast into Trump's bedroom from a hastily constructed transmission tower on the South Lawn. However, Trump was unhappy with the channel they had created, moaning that it was boring because the gorillas aren't fighting. So staff edited out all the parts of the documentaries where gorillas weren't hitting each other, and at last the president was satisfied. He kneels in front of the TV with his face about 4 inches from the screen and says encouraging things to the gorillas like the way you hit that other gorilla was really good, as if the gorillas could hear him. So that's what this guy put out there last night. And the page that he made it look like, it looked like the page out of a book. Now, I was going to say out of this Michael Wolff book, but it just looks like the inside of any book. And it looked kind of realistic. Realistic enough to fool millions of people online who have since retweeted this. Now, what that says about the president himself, you can determine that people believed that this was true.
I'd buy that.
One of the people who fell for this was an internet personality named Eric Garland. He has 175,000 followers, often writing about conspiracies he sees within the White House. He's a Trump hater. So he tweeted this out to lots and lots of people who follow him. And, of course, they retweeted it. And pretty soon you got a shampoo commercial. And now he admits, I totally got punked on this thing. The guy who started this, his Twitter handle was Pixelated Boat, at Pixelated Boat. But this morning, after seeing the reaction, the guy posted this last night and then went to bed. And when he woke up this morning, he saw tens of thousands of people had retweeted this joke of his. And so he changed his Twitter handle from at Pixelated Boat to at the Gorilla Channel thing is a joke. And he said, I wonder if this will help. Probably not. People are still retweeting this and still believing it. It is still spreading like wildfire across the internet today. I even saw plenty of people posting it on Facebook. It's not real. There is no gorilla channel. I was skeptical of it the moment I saw it, but there was one thing as a broadcaster that I saw in here that made me say, no way, and that was the hastily constructed transmission tower on the South Lawn that only broadcasts to the president's bedroom. Come on, Tim. I'm not buying it, are you?
No.
But like you said, the fact that millions of people wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I know. I know. Take it for whatever you want to take it for. Second favorite story of the day. In Oregon, it is now legal to pump your own gas. I did not know that there was any place in America where it was illegal to pump your own gas, but apparently Oregon and New Jersey both had laws against it, which meant that when you pulled in, you had to sit there and wait in your car for some attendant to come out. Then you'd say, you know, fill it up with regular.
Yeah. That bell would ring.
Give him, yeah. You had to have that hose across the
The asphalt,
it would make that sound, and they would come running out. No, they wouldn't come running out. They'd come walking out, like, oh, God, another one. And these people worked for minimum wage and never got tips. Never. Now, I'm old enough to remember a time when no one could pump their own gas.
Right.
Every gas station you went to, you went over that hose, you waited for the person to come out. They were all men in those days. And they would come out and you could have them, you know, fill it up with regular. Want me to check the oil? Yeah, check the oil too. Yeah,
I felt like they wore those little hats, you know?
Yes.
Like right out of Back to the Future.
I can remember a Hess gas station where a friend of mine, his girlfriend, got a job there for the summer. And that Hess gas station had the greatest summer they'd ever had because a woman would be pumping gas for you. She was a young, attractive college-age woman, would be pumping gas for you.
Okay.
So guys would go out of their way to go see her. But it's not like the uniform was... Yeah. And she wasn't dressed like a cocktail waitress. She was wearing the same baggy service station uniform that the guys all wore.
Give me a half gallon.
Exactly.
Now, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you're telling that story about in Oregon. Yeah. Have you seen any of the pictures that have come out of what's happening up there?
Yes, because people don't know how to pump their own gas.
Exactly. It is. I saw them this morning. They're unreal.
I saw comments on a TV station in Oregon. I think it's from Portland. One woman wrote, "I don't even know how to pump gas. I'm a 62-year-old native Oregonian. I say no thanks. I don't like to smell like gasoline."
Yeah.
And another one wrote, "No, disabled, seniors, people with young children in the car, we need help. Not to mention getting out of your car with transients around and not feeling safe. This is a very bad idea." Transients? I've never used that word in my life. Let's be very careful in this area. There are transients in this area. Yeah. And then the third one was, "I've lived in this state all my..." This is a guy. "I've lived in this state all my life, and I refuse to pump my own gas. This is a service only qualified people should perform. I will literally park at the pump and wait until somebody pumps my gas." Okay. I want to see you literally do that. Literally means you're actually going to do it. Go ahead. Pull in there and then wait for everybody to say, "Hey, buddy, pump your gas and get out of here."
Meet me. The pictures Tim is talking about, the cover of some sort of business newspaper in Oregon. A woman is spraying gasoline all over the windshield of her car.
Yes.
Out of the
pump. Now, I think that's a joke. I don't think that there's somebody that stupid that they're getting it on the dashboard or the windshield of the car. But I did see a picture of a guy who has the nozzle. You know, when you put the nozzle in your gas tank, the rest of the handle faces down. This guy has it facing up.
Right,
it's
right.
Like he's turned the whole apparatus over and is putting it in, which would seem to be awkward, and you'd have to do some sort of balancing act. Wouldn't you at some point think, this can't be right? And also, I would also think that all these places that have these attendants who worked there before, one of them has to be able to come out of the convenience store and say, "Buddy, you're doing it wrong. Let me show you."
Right. Now, they did, Josh, I don't know if you saw it, but they did have, it was a great picture because they had the two pumps, or the pump, and they had one car on each side of the pump, but each car had the gas tank on the opposite side of where it should. Yeah. So both guys had it stretched across their trunk to get it, and it was stretched. Then they showed another picture, which that happens here too. They showed another picture with a car that was parked, and they had the nozzle still in the gas tank, and then the broken hose that was laying next to it.
They drove off.
People driving away. Now,
right.
I got to tell you, in full disclosure, I've done that.
What really?
You've driven away?
I've driven away. It was early in the morning. I was running late to work. I had the hose in the car, and I drove off.
And you got back in the car. You waited for it to fill up.
Yes.
When you heard it stop, you just motored out of that.
I just took off. Okay.
How'd that work out?
So what...
Wait, I want to know. What happened once you pulled away?
The hoses aren't hardwired in. They're connected by magnets. So if you start driving away, it'll come clean from the machine, and now I'm just dragging the nozzle and the hose. Okay? So I realize this.
Hold on a second. I got to get the full laugh out of me before you go on with this. Because I'm picturing that as you're going down the road, and I'm picturing everybody else in that area going, "Look at this idiot."
I did.
We're laughing with you, Josh.
Right. No, we're not. No, I'm not.
Now, I didn't,
all right.
I didn't get out of the parking lot because I heard it happen, and I kind of drove around. And
okay.
Oh, boy.
And then what did you do?
So I took it out, and I set it next to the pump, and I walked in. Because, you know, I don't know. I don't want... This thing is half mile from my house. I don't want the whole block to blow
up. Now, no gasoline is pouring out of the pump at this point.
No.
It has an automatic shutoff, I assume?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I went inside, and I waited in line because there was people in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally got up to the counter, I said, "Hello, sir, this is really embarrassing, but I had the nozzle in my car, and I drove off with it. And he goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. It happens all the time." I've never seen a man do it before.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, okay, well, now you have.
And there were no consequences for you?
No, he said, just leave it there. We'll connect it later. So when I saw this picture of the guy pulling off and dragging, you know, half the pump with him,
yeah,
I said to myself, well, the one that I did, when I did it, disconnected clean and free from...
So the picture that you saw online, part of the pump is like...
Part of the pump is
the pump
is
got
like,
knocked over? And,
yeah, it's coming with them.
And is the there must be gas leaking out?
No, I mean, they have to have some sort of safety mechanism.
Yeah, yeah.
So that gas isn't just pouring everywhere, but...
I've never done that, but I have done this. Gone into a gas station, opened up the door, unscrewed the gas cap... Tried to screw the gas cap onto that little thing on the door that only works the first 3 days you have your car. After that, it's never a good place to put it. But somehow I got it on there, put the pump in, filled it up with gas, took the nozzle, put it back in the pump, got back in my car, drove off with the door still open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm driving along and people are honking at me. Hey, hey, buddy. Buddy, and you know, it was the summer. I had the air conditioning on. I couldn't hear him. Hey, buddy! And they're pointing to my car, and I'm thinking, "Oh man, do I have a flat? And I don't know it. How is that possible?" So I pulled over to the side of the road, and they were right. The door was still open, and the gas cap was no longer there.
Oh no!
Yeah. So that meant a little trip to the local auto parts store to find one that fits in my car. But I've never done the drive off with a pump.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, I've only done it once. So Josh doesn't feel bad, and I got to watch how I tell this story, but it has to do with a helicopter.
Tim did it with a helicopter.
And not any of them that I've flown. It was my brother was a pilot, and one of the medical helicopters at one time. This was several years ago. Now, Terry's been retired for 7 or 8 years now, but this was way, way back then. But, you know, when you land the helicopter, you can either shut it down and just fill it up, or they call it a hot fill. And they I think that's what they call it, hot fuel, and they keep the engine going, and they come up and they fill it with gas, and then they go, and then they just take off as soon as they fill it. Mm-hmm. And one of the pilots did that. They had to fill up their own helicopter, and he got out and he put the gas the nozzle in. And then he flew off without taking the nozzle out. And needless to say, he got fired. And I think it's an FAA thing. They got to check into it and stuff. So it happens whether you're a car or helicopter or an airplane.
And did that have a quick release hose as well? Or was he flying around with a gas tank?
Well, you know, I don't really know. I just, that's why I say I kind of have to watch the story.
Okay,
because I'm the guy is no longer flying in St. Louis anyway. But he did that. And I guess he had to turn around and come back. Somebody must have told them, and yeah, they have an automatic shutoff. So, but he just forgot to take the thing out. That's all. He had to hurry up and get up and go to a call.
Well, it seems to me like half the people in Oregon don't know how to put the nozzle in the first place. Forget about taking it out.
They don't have to worry about driving it off.
But the picture of the guys pulling up and
I'm glad you went back to this. This is a good thing. I have to say something about this. The ones with the gas tanks on the other side of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
There is an indicator, and I didn't know this until a few years ago when David Pogue told me, because I was ranting on the air one day about I was traveling, I had a rental car. In my cars, it's always on the left side, but in the rental car, it wasn't. I was like, oh, damn it, and I had to do the pull around. I didn't know there's an indicator on your dashboard, right there with the gas gauge, an arrow that points left or right that tells you where the gas tank opening is. But here's why that's even doubly frustrating. Why do we need the right side fill-up? We don't live in England. We drive on the right side of the road. And you don't go to a drive-through McDonald's and the window's on the other side of the building.
Yeah, I've always wondered that.
Why aren't those cars and gas tanks standardized in the United States, for goodness sake? They're made here.
And you would think that a car is, you know, mirrored. The right side is the same as the left side, so, you know, functionally speaking, if you need to put a gas tank somewhere, build it on the left side.
It would make sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to blow...
Go ahead.
I'm gonna blow- I'm going to blow your guys' mind even more. I didn't, Paul, I'm like you. I didn't know that until a couple of years ago, and you're not going to believe it. I learned it from McGraw. Oh, on the McGraw show.
No, now you're just lying.
I'm not.
It's not even possible.
I'm not.
But these
people... I did not know that until I heard him going down some stuff, things you didn't know.
Yeah.
And he went down, and he said, did you know that there's a little arrow on your gas tank? It tells you either left or right, and that's the side that you fill it
well,
up
I think
on.
We've learned something important here today, which is that McGraw listens to my show. And yeah. I appreciate that, McGraw.
Obviously.
Thank you very much. Two quick other things about this Oregon thing, and then I got a break. The things that people wrote on Facebook about this who were not from Oregon. One guy wrote, I'm in Wisconsin. The wind chill is currently 17 below. You know what I did this morning? I had to pump my own flipping gas. It's not that hard, people. And the other one was, fear not, Oregon. I've decided to move to your state to open up a school to teach people how to pump gas. It might be a short-term business, but I'm going to get rich very quickly. I got a break. We're back with more of the Paul Harris Show right after this on the Big 550 KTRS.
Come on down to Edwards Carpet Stores.
Hi, Mark Goldstein here for Edwards Carpet. Happy New Year, St. Louis. I'm hoping one of your resolutions was to replace some flooring in your home. If not, I hope I can get you to add it to the list. It's 2018 and manufacturers have all raised their prices, but right now you can still get 2017 prices. It might be cold outside, but these prices will help warm you up, and you can take advantage of 12 months interest-free financing. With the new year, there's been a lot of talk about taxes. Well, for a limited time, you'll pay no tax on your purchase from Edwards. The best tax is no tax. We have the largest selection of all the newest innovations in the business. Carpet, sheet vinyl, luxury vinyl tile, all the new multi-layered flooring and more. Hurry into any of our five locations and get the flooring experience you deserve. Edwards Carpet, St. Louis's oldest locally owned and operated flooring business, serving you since 1939. Sale ends January 10th and sorry, but previous sales are excluded.
Come on down to Edwards Carpet Stores.
Have you set your New Year's resolutions? Well, you need to put Securus Circle of Advisors as part of that. It's time to set your retirement goals. Do you need someone to help you with your will, your taxes, your insurance? There's so much behind the Circle of Advisors. They're like family. You go in there, you have one person that meets with you. There's no running around all over town. Those days are over because Securus Circle Advisors does everything under one roof. You know, tax season is here, and boy, can that be complicated and confusing with all the tax codes. Let Securus Circle Advisors help you with your taxes from the beginning to the end. You know, when you care enough about yourself and your family to your partner, you want to put those with the best. And again, that's my friends at Securus Circle of Advisors. Make it simple. Make it one easy choice. Go to securusnow.com. That's securusnow.com.
Suburban Leisure Center presents a hysterical...
Historical!
Sorry, historical moment. At the dawn of time, humans took a giant leap forward when cavemen discovered combustion.
Ooh, what is this? I think I will call it fire. That's it, fire.
Since then came campfires, pot-bellied stoves, then central heat. But we've never lost the warm feelings that flames in a fireplace can bring.
Sweetie, let's build a fire and snuggle.
But wood fires are messy, with ashes to clean up.
You're making a mess.
And you can't turn it off when you want to. You need gas logs from Suburban Leisure Center.
Wish we had gas logs.
They look like real wood, but unlike real wood, you don't have to constantly buy more, and they don't leave a mess.
Wish we had gas logs.
Take the hint and head to Suburban Leisure Center for tremendous savings on gas logs. This hysterical...
It's historical, idiot.
Sorry. Historical moment was brought to you by Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, just a mile west of 141. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
If your home is your castle, your basement doesn't have to be a dungeon. Have a water or foundation problem in your basement? Call Pro Basement at 314-222-9600. Have a crazy bid from one of those big waterproofing companies? You can save thousands by calling Larry Oddie at Pro Basement. He'll put together a common sense waterproofing solution at a make sense price to address your basement water problems. Call Pro Basement, the St. Louis basement expert. 314-222-9600.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa. So she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health, traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
Meet me.
All right, we do have a couple of incidents going on. I'll tell you what, we had three of them, but now they've cleared one of them. The first one is eastbound Highway 270 east of McDonald. You had an accident that was blocking the left lane. That has thinned out. Now, traffic is a little heavy. Lindbergh making its way to Highway 170. They were working with an accident blocking the right lane, westbound Highway 270, and that's right at McDonald that's blocking the right lane, but traffic is not all that backed up there. They're working with a crash on the ramp from eastbound Highway 370 to eastbound Highway 270 that only has the left lane on that ramp blocked. And then you've got an accident on northbound Highway 170 at 70 that has you jammed all the way back to St. Charles Rock Road. This traffic report, it's brought to you by Staples. Now at Staples, trade in your old printer and save up to $200 on a new Epson Echo Tank, including up to 2 years' ink. Ends 1-6, see store for or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland. That's a look at traffic from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
That, of course, is Rhiannon, the story about the Welsh witch that Stevie Nicks wrote some 40-odd years ago and is still performing on the road. In fact, I saw her here in St. Louis when she played the Family Arena just a few weeks ago. And now I'm happy to tell you about an biography of Stevie Nicks. It's called Gold Dust Woman. It's written by Stephen Davis, who's also done books about Jim Morrison and Bob Marley and Miles Davis and a whole bunch of other musicians. And I've asked him to join me here today and talk a little bit about Stevie and her life and music. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. Thank you for having me on your air.
Well, it's my pleasure. Let's start with that song, Rhiannon. I read in your book that the version of it that we all know is not the same one they first recorded. How is it different?
The one that they first recorded was remixed to sound good on tinny 1970s car radios, and it's a little bit different from the album version. One of the interesting things about Fleetwood Mac back in those days was that first album was recorded on an extremely rare customized mixing console, so it literally jumped out of those FM rock stations back in the day. So the standard Rhiannon, the one you just played, is kind of the one that most fans know.
Okay. Now let's talk about Gold Dust Woman, which is the title of your book, which, congratulations, by the way, New York Times bestseller.
Thank you, yeah.
That's always a great thing to have as an author.
Cool.
The night that I saw her, I've seen her two or three times, I think, going all the way back to seeing her on the Tusk tour with Fleetwood Mac, something like 1979 or 1980.
Right.
The version she did of Gold Dust Woman that night was the best one I've ever heard. You've probably heard 100 different versions of it. Tell me a little story about that song and why you chose it as the title of your book.
Well, you know, I saw Stevie play, I'm calling from Boston, and I saw her play here at the end of last year on the same tour, I think, with the Pretenders that you might have seen. She did this dance that she called the Crackhead Dance at the end of Gold Dust Woman, and she sort of lurched around the stage, and then afterwards she explained to the audience that this song was about losing control of drug intake and about sort of losing also control of your life and losing your spirit as well. And it was a kind of a prophetic song when she wrote it, because she sort of later turned into the Gold Dust Woman. Some people called her the White Dust Woman because she had such a propensity for cocaine. And it got her into a lot of trouble, and that song was kind of a prophetic look at what was going to happen to her, and indeed what did happen to her. One of the advantages of being a biographer is that you can kind of take things from different eras and try to make sense of them. And I have to tell your listeners also, Paul, that this is not an authorized biography. I don't really know Stevie Nicks. I've worked with Fleetwood Mac and done a couple books with Mick Fleetwood. I've only been introduced to Stevie once, and this was 30 years ago after a show in London. She was tired, and it was at a party, and she had a glass of white wine in one hand and a cigarette in the other, so I didn't even get to shake hands with her. But she did look at me, and because Mick had introduced me as a writer. And she took a look at me, and she was wearing these thick glasses because Stevie's very nearsighted. She can hardly drive, actually. And she looked at me, and she said, "Everything you ever heard about me is true." And I thought to myself, boy, that's a good come on. No, that sounds like an invitation to write a book.
Yeah.
So here we are years and years later, and the book is called Gold Dust Woman.
Yeah. I'll tell you my meeting Stevie Nicks story. It was, again, back on that Tusk tour, I think probably, again, 1979 or 80. And the record company invited a bunch of us radio station people to a backstage party, probably similar to the one you were talking about. And I was in a conversation with Lindsey Buckingham. About how people don't give him enough credit for being such a great guitarist.
True.
And at that moment, Stevie walked up and kind of stood there holding a pretzel up in the air, and Lindsey stopped in the middle of a thought and turned to her and said, "Yes, Stevie?" And she said, "I have the last pretzel." And she skipped away.
That's better than my story. I'm the biographer here.
But
well, you know, these people are characters. You know, I mean, they have these, especially Stevie Nicks. You know, like I said at the top of the interview, you know, she has this myth. She has this legend. There's something epic about her. She has a mystique. It's more than just the music. You know, it's the presentation. It's the wardrobe. It's the shawls. It's the top hat. It's the witchy stuff. You know, I think if she is a witch, I think she's a white witch because she has this mission to get up and bring magic to people by singing to them and making them feel better.
Let's go back to the beginning of her career with Fleetwood Mac, when she and Lindsey, who were then boyfriend and girlfriend and living together, when they joined Fleetwood Mac. It was a band that wasn't doing very well, right?
There was a British blues band that started in the 70s, and they had a lot of hit records. Songs like Albatross and Black Magic Woman. And but they started shedding members. People started leaving them to join LSD cults and religious cults and all this stuff. The band moved to California. That's where they met up with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. And as I said before, they tried to hire him, and he said, "You got to take my girlfriend too." So there's a lot of predestination in all this. You know, there's a lot of weird coincidences in this story. There's a lot of Shakespeare used to use storms to separate his characters or bring them together, and so there are a lot of storms in this book, Gold Dust Woman. In fact, one of my favorite Stevie Nicks songs is called Storms, and you know, it joins these other songs, like, you know, the ones we talked about before, is along with Sisters of the Moon and just all these great songs. Stevie Nicks is a national treasure, and I didn't even realize this until I finished the book. I just thought I was writing a story about the last female rock star, but it's gone beyond that in my own mind. And the book is selling so well that the audience seems to have kind of, you know, signed on to this.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But again, you know, I think we're seeing something historic here when we talk about Stevie Nicks.
So let's go back to when she joined the band with Lindsey. They got her because they wanted him, is what you're saying.
Yes, they had lost their guitar player. His name was Bob Welch. He became a big rock star later on.
Yep.
And and he quit, and they said, Mick Fleetwood came to the recording studio, and he heard Lindsey play guitar, and he said, "We want this guy," and Lindsey was adamant that he was part of a duo, and that this duo was working on an album of new songs, which contained songs like Crystal and Rhiannon, and songs that eventually were rolled out as Fleetwood Mac product as opposed to Buckingham Nicks product.
Ah, interesting.
So it's they sort of joined Fleetwood Mac as a working unit, and it worked from day one. I mean, Mick Fleetwood told me that that Stevie Nicks showed up for her audition. showed up to audition for Fleetwood Mac in a roaring 20s flapper outfit because she was waiting tables at a theme joint called Clementine's in West Hollywood. She had like a doily on her head.
Yep.
And he took one look at her and he said, "Well, you know, you don't have to audition. We'll just hire you." And again, they were so they were broke, they had no money, and a year later, they were millionaires.
Yeah, that's amazing. Let's go back even further. She was in a group with Lindsay called Fritz, which I'd never heard of until I read your book. And you say in the book that they got hired to play a lot of fraternity parties, but sometimes they got in trouble because they wanted to do their own songs and not the standard frat party cover songs.
Like Satisfaction and Louie Louie. They wouldn't play those songs.
Why?
Well, because they thought Lindsay, who was kind of very dominant in that relationship, especially at that time, thought that this was Fritz was a San Francisco band who opened for, yes, they did play high school dances and frat parties, but they also opened for the big San Francisco bands like Big Brother with Janis Joplin and the Jefferson Airplane. They opened for I think one weekend they played a fraternity party at Stanford for 200 people, and then they went down to San Jose and opened for Jimi Hendrix Experience, 75,000 people. And the legend is that Jimmy was tuning his guitar, and he looks over it, and he sees the young, Stevie Nicks, all of 5 foot tall, wearing her Coke bottle glasses or her contact lenses, standing behind the amp, and he points at her. He says, "I want to dedicate a song to that little girl over there." And no one really knows what he played, but the legend is that he played his song Angel for her.
And is it true that the reason that Stevie wears fringe and scarves is because she saw Hendrix wearing them?
Yeah, Hendrix. Well, I don't know if he was wearing fringe and scarves at that time and when she opened for him, but when she saw the Woodstock movie, she said that when she grew up, she wanted to wear fringes and scarves and arrive at a rock concert in a helicopter, and they both dreams came true.
And now she has a huge fan base of these women who dress just like her when they go to see her perform. When did that start?
Well, when I was in when that show I was talking about in Boston the other day, there were four different segments to her audience. There were the ladies her age in their 50s and 60s or older. There were their daughters in their 30s and 40s. There were their daughters, the tweens from 12 to 16, and then the fourth component were the gay guys, who many of whom were dressed like Stevie, in like black chiffon and like wigs, high heels, the whole deal. But it was an amazing experience and a unique one for me because a few songs in, she started to sing her famous song Dreams, which was the only number one hit single that Fleetwood Mac ever had.
Really?
And she began the song with her band and sang half the first verse and then stepped away from the microphone, and 20,000 people finished the song for her.
Sure.
Over the course of 3 or 4 minutes,
yeah.
A cappella. I've never heard anything like it. I've been to hundreds of these rock concerts. It was just an amazing display of fan love and adoration and loyalty.
And
goosebumps, spine chilling, just amazing.
That's on Rumors, right?
Dreams, yeah.
Yeah. That's an album that I've always been curious about because I know that they wrote it in the midst of horrible breakups. Lindsay and Stevie stopped being a couple. John McVie, Christine McVie stopped being in a couple. Mick Fleetwood, he wasn't with anybody in the band, but he had his own problems. And yet
his wife was divorcing him.
Yeah, and all of this was happening in the same year, 1976 and into early 77. How do you come together as a creative force when you effectively hate each other?
Well, my favorite take on this period, Rumors, is this. As I said before, Stevie was in a inferior position in this relationship to Lindsay, who was very domineering of her and pretty much ran the show of their relationship. And she couldn't take it anymore, especially after this first flush of success. So she dumped him. Stevie Nicks dumped Lindsay Buckingham for being mean to her. But for the next 40 years, for the rest of this guy's career, he was contractually obligated to work on her songs for Fleetwood Mac and make them look good, make her look good. So if there's any, lingering bitterness there, I almost can't blame the guy. Although this book, Gold Dust Woman, is now come out during this all this news cycle of about abuse and
sexual harassment.
You know, whatever's going on.
Yep.
A lot of revelations going on, and some of the New York papers have treated this book, Gold Dust Woman, as a news story about Stevie suffering violence at the hands of Lindsey Buckingham. And this was the last thing I intended when I was working on this book last year.
Yeah.
But it's interesting the timing that has come out. There's every day you open your newspaper and there's some horror story about someone that you might have respected the day before. And this book is Gold Dust Woman is kind of seen as part of that now. It's interesting timing.
Yeah, and the timing is also good because both Stevie and Lindsey slash Christine are on tour. Actually, 2 weeks after I saw Stevie here in St. Louis, Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie came through with their combined show, and they're doing stuff from a new album, which I understand they originally put together and hoped that Stevie would join them and make a new Fleetwood Mac record. But that didn't happen. Why? Is it because of what you were just talking about, these lingering feelings?
No, it happened because Stevie's manager said to her, why spend a year making, and a lot of treasure, making a record that no one's going to buy? Because people don't buy records anymore.
Mm.
And I don't, I've heard a few things from from Lindsey and Christine's record, and it's kind of, pretty pop. It sounds a lot like Tango in the Night, which is a record they made 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's okay, but it's not going to get any radio play, and nobody's going to know it's out.
And what was the concert like?
They were fine. Lindsey is, as I said, still a great guitarist. And
He
did a fantastic version of Never Going Back Again. And Christine was kind of bland and sang his songs. And it was fine, but I didn't walk out of there going, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad I went to that show. That was great.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, as I said before, Stevie Nicks is in my book, the last female rock star. I don't think we're going to see anyone like her again. And certainly the younger ladies like Taylor Swift and Florence Welch in England and Lana Del Rey, they all talk about they wouldn't be where they were without Stevie Nicks. So she's not only who she is, she's also her legacy. The Dixie Chicks had a big successful song with Landslide a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's a sense of the epic, about this career, and I'm just sort of glad that I was the one who was able to do some firsthand research and firsthand knowledge and just put it together in this book, Gold Dust Woman.
Yeah, when you talk about the people who are inspired by her and their careers, the women, it's interesting, in the concert I saw, she talked about how she'd been inspired by and become friends with Prince after hearing his song Little Red Corvette, which she then kind of adapted into her own song for her solo career called Stand Back. Do you know that story?
Yeah, she got married. Her best friend died of cancer. She married her best friend's widower. They are driving up on their honeymoon on the, California 101. And Little Red Corvette comes up on the radio, so this must be 1983. And she starts singing her song Stand Back to the rhythm. And when she gets to their honeymoon hotel, she writes the song. And then she sends a tape to Prince, and he flies in from, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, puts the synthesizer track on the song, and goes back to Minnesota.
Wow.
No romance, apparently, and she said she kind of regretted that. And then the marriage lasted 3 months, and she couldn't take it anymore, and has never married since, never had children, several romances.
Yep.
A couple of months ago, someone asked her about her current love life, and she said that at her age, she's narrowed it down to nobody.
But I did want to ask, finally, last thing I want to get into with you here, Steve, is a relationship she had with a guy who is kind of a legend himself in the music industry as both a producer and as an executive, and that's Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah, he's the subject of a, something, like a series on HBO now called The Defiant Ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he was this guy who had worked with John Lennon. And as I said before, he was the producer who Stevie Nicks stole from Tom Petty. He was working on Tom Petty's album at the time, and Stevie seduced him, both business and in romance, and they were a couple for quite a long time.
Now, how is that to work with somebody? She'd already had a relationship with somebody, a creative relationship like that with Lindsey Buckingham. Well, maybe not exactly like that, but you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. now here she's involved with another guy. Did the personal get in the way of the professional with them?
I would say it did not get in the way with Jimmy Iovine. Jimmy Iovine produced one and a half of her records, and the record was a huge, called Belladonna, and it was a huge success. He stepped in. I wouldn't say put it that he stepped in Lindsey Buckingham's shoes, but he filled the same kind of role in production. He took Stevie's ideas and sketches and lyrics and molded them into songs with chord changes and arrangements and, you know, verses and choruses, and that's what a producer does.
Yep.
And so it seems kind of natural, since she was so dependent on Lindsey, who was a romantic partner as well, that she would also hook up with the guy who succeeded Lindsey. And I think that Jimmy Iovine wasn't mean to her, or at least my research never uncovered anything like that.
Well, that's a good step up for her.
It is. She came from a kind of an abusive relationship where she was very dominated by this boyfriend, and she dumped him.
And lived to tell a tale of her own career, which you write about so well in the book. It's called Gold Dust Woman. It's a New York Times bestseller. And here's the guy you wrote it, Stephen Davis. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Paul. Give my love to all my relatives in Missouri, please.
Absolutely. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Okay, well, I've got some good news for you. They have cleared both the accidents on east and westbound Highway 270 near McDonald. Now, eastbound 270 is still running a bit slow. Midway between McDonald and Lindbergh through 170. They still have the accident they're working on eastbound 370 on the ramp to eastbound 270. And also the ramp to Missouri Bottom is shut down. So only the left lane is getting through on that accident. And it looks like we're backed up just a little bit east of St. Louis Mills. Now, you have an accident that they just have moved it out of the way. It was blocking the left lane on northbound Highway 170's ramp to westbound 70. Now, you're still slowing off the pace a little bit, crowded, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, from north of St. Charles Rock Road up through Highway 70, and then things open up. Southbound 170, that's really stacking up now from Del Mar down through Highway 40. You've got westbound 70 heavy from Union through Jennings Station Road, and downtown eastbound Highway 4064. That is slowing approaching Compton to the Poplar Street Bridge. Staples, they have low prices on everything your business needs to clear the clutter this year, like banker's boxes, file folders, and storage bins. Less mess equals more success. Visit staples.com for more details. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
I don't have sinus problems, so I don't know how bad it can be, but some of my friends talk about it, and I see what they go through, and I feel so terrible for them. Every time I see a friend with sinus problems, I tell them about my other friend, Dr. Karen Boone at Metro Sinus. She's an ear, nose, and throat doctor in St. Charles, and people come from all over the region to go get help from Dr. Karen Boone in Metro Sinus. She will solve your sinus problems one way or the other. But what's great about Dr. Karen Boone is that she has perfected a procedure called balloon sinuplasty. She will enlarge your sinuses so they drain properly. No more sinus headaches, no more sinus infections. In fact, colds, well, we all get colds, but people with sinus infections and sinus issues, their colds last for weeks at a time because they don't drain properly. Dr. Karen Boone can solve that problem. Covered by insurance, covered by Medicare, and it's an hour-long procedure, so you're back to work the next day. 636-685-8040 or Dr. Karen Boone at metrosinus.com.
Hi, John Grayson here for JV's Downtown Bar and Grill. And you know what goes down great when the weather starts to get cold? A nice big bowl of hot soup. And the hot soup that's made fresh every day at JV's Downtown Bar and Grill, whether you get the beef, barley, the vegetable, oh, it's just wonderful. And that, of course, is going to be the precursor to the meal of your life, whether you get the barbecue, which, by the way, I would recommend, made right there under the roof at JV's Downtown Bar and Grill at 117 North Main Street in Waterloo, Illinois. Or if you'd rather go for pizza and wings or burgers and fries, it's all good. going to be outstanding. That's because at JB's, there's two things they really care about: making great food and making you a friend. And if you become the Facebook friend of the day, you get a free appetizer when you come into JB's. So do that. You can also check out the entire month's worth of evening specials right there on the page. Bring the whole family for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. And if you're an adult 21 and up, have a seat at the bar and enjoy one of the 12 beers they have on tap. JB's Downtown Bar and Grill, 117 North Main Street in Waterloo, Illinois. We'll see you there.
Hello?
A steady drip, drip, drip under your toilet tank has sent you to the Super Mega Box Store for a solution.
Hello?
But your fruitless search makes your frustration level rise faster than the water on your bathroom floor.
What's somebody got to do to get some help around here?
You should have gone to the experts at Schnars Hardware.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Where you get all the assistance you need from people who actually know what they sell.
Sounds like a compression ring leak.
Oh.
We could sell you a new hose, but first, why don't you tighten up the old one and see if it stops leaking?
If you don't need it, we won't sell it to you at Schnars.
I like that.
The advice is free, but if you do need something, Frank Blair and the expert staff will help you find it. So why go to the Super Mega Box Store to be ignored?
Hello?
When you could get real customer service by people who really know what they sell.
Hi, this is Frank Blair from Schnars Hardware, where we don't charge for the popcorn or the advice.
I like that.
9800 Clayton Road in Ladue and 40 East Lockwood in Webster Groves. For hours, locations, or to shop online, go to schnars.com.
Savings based on two-year protection plan compared to T-Mobile premium device protection as of July 12, 2017. Square Trade does not cover loss or stolen items. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting a new phone? Get this. Every 2 seconds, one of us accidentally breaks our phone. So, protecting your phone is a smart idea. But phone insurance through your wireless carrier can cost as much as $15 every month. Switch to SquareTrade phone protection instead for half the cost of insurance through your wireless carrier, and you could save $200 or more. It's like protecting two phones for the price of one. SquareTrade covers accidents like drops and spills with easy same-day repair options. Part of the Allstate family, we're trusted by over 30 million customers with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And switching to SquareTrade is easy. How else can you save $200 in 10 minutes? So don't wait. Switch today.
Switch to SquareTrade now and you can save over $200. Visit SquareTrade.com. That's SquareTrade.com.
On North 6th Street in downtown St. Louis, there's a family-owned Italian restaurant known far and wide for almost four decades. It's Charlie Gito's Downtown, famous for great food, especially their pasta and chicken parmesan. Charlie Gito's Downtown is also known for their wall of pictures of famous visitors and famous locals. And if you're planning an event, Charlie Gito's has two event spaces available. To sum up, it's Charlie Gito's Downtown, within walking distance of Busch Stadium at 207 North 6th Street. Online at charliegitosdt.com.
You need someone you can trust when it comes to buying jewelry. Well, I've got them. Jimmy and Mike Lordo from Lordo's Diamonds. They've been doing this a long time. Don't go to a big box store. Don't go online. And please don't buy your jewelry from somebody who buys in bulk. Classy, elegant, traditional. Lordo's Diamonds in the heart of Ladue. Do you know where Truffles is? Right in that shopping center. Lordo's Diamonds in the heart of Ladue. For all of your jewelry, LordoDiamonds.com.
Reel in the big one at the Let's Go Fishing Show this Friday through Sunday at the Gateway Center in Collinsville. Shop over 100 vendors, including fishing boats, rods, reels, tackle, and free seminars. Meet Bassmasters 2017 Angler of the Year, Brandon Polaniuk and Kevin Rogers. Go to letsgoshows.com for more info.
Are you ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but the flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
It's the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide by the free KTRS app. You can email me, Paul at harrisonline.com, with your knuckleheads in the news stories. I'll get to those in about 90 minutes. Between now and then, of course, the Harris Challenge. And in the 4 o'clock hour, the Showbiz Show, which will include my interview with Molly Bloom, whose book, Molly's Game, came out 3.5 years ago and was a big bestseller, so much so that Aaron Sorkin decided he wanted to write and direct a movie based on that. I'll have that interview with Molly for you, and then I will review the movie, which opens today in St. Louis and across the country. Also, stories about David Letterman's new show on Netflix, and how Will Smith's supposed bomb on Netflix is actually a monster hit.